you know, Rick and Scott were off yesterday and today on vacation. Scott in St. Louis. He is joining us on the live line right now. Scott, good morning.
Morning.
How you doing, bud?
I'll admit it's been a tough 12 hours.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, how did you hear?
I got a call from Cell Tower, who had heard from a friend of Rick's that they were taking him into the hospital last night, and then got the call about an hour or two after that you know, the news you never want to hear, that he had passed away.
And what can you tell us specifically about the heart attack? Do you know when?
I don't know a whole lot of details. I talked to his friend though about a half hour or so ago, and the paramedics showed up at his door. I had to break the door down to get in to help him, and they started to do CPR and stuff at the house, and then transported him off to the hospital. But at this point, that's all I know. First off, I'm amazed at how quickly news passes. Thanks to everybody that sent, you know, very nice emails, posted stuff on various blogs. And one of the things that a lot of people are asking about is his dog, Bandit.
Yeah.
Bandit's being taken care of. I heard you mention earlier,
yeah.
Gary, his neighbor lady right now is taking care of Bandit. But Bandit will be taken care of. There's no worries there about Bandit.
All right.
Rick is, he was 54.
Well, he was 54. Okay, I said 52. And
he would have been 55 June 30th of this year.
Wow.
There are an awful lot of people, we mentioned this earlier, that are listening to Wood Radio right now and are shocked that the three of us are in tears about that gruff guy. He came across on the radio, is insensitive, as Mary mentioned, sexist. He had a line for you like that. But my God, what a heart.
Well, and I you know, put an entry up on my blog, and, you know, it was tough to write this morning. And I, you know, last night, as I said in my blog, I, you know, laid in bed and my mind was on constant rewind going back to the, you know, 15 years that I worked with Rick full time on the radio. But Rick and I actually started working together back in 1989. So our relationship goes well beyond the 15 years that we worked full time. I was just doing a little math this morning, too, and figuring out, you know, considering sick days and vacation time and stuff, you know, Rick and I did about 3,500 shows together.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And it's, you know, I was thinking about, you know, how people sometimes they'll lose someone they work with, a coworker, and, you know, it's different when they work down, you know, on the other side of the department or on a different floor, but you know, when you lose somebody that you've worked with, you know, 3 feet away from you for the past 15 years, I mean, he was like family.
And, you know, I mentioned that in my email to you. Our prayers are obviously with you and the rest of Rick's family, but you were way more than a coworker to him. You were there. And one of the only guys during the really rough years.
Right. We went through a lot together, both good and bad. And, you know, Rick was truly a friend. I mean, there were a lot of things.
Yeah.
Rick always used to kid around about, he knew everything about me, but what I look like naked. And I could truly say the same thing for him. I'm glad that never was a complete cycle there, because I didn't want to see that.
It's funny.
You know, it's true. I mean, him and I mean, we would have, you know, it's going to be, here's the weirdest part for me. Is we used to, I don't know if a lot of people really realize how much Rick and I would talk once we left the station. I mean, every night at 9:30, we would talk about what's going on in the news and what are we going to talk about the next day on the show. And then we talk again at 6:30 every morning. And it's going to be weird to start my day now and not have that 6:30 call from Rick, just to kind of, you know, put our heads together and figure out what's going on.
You know, I was just talking with John Sinkovics of the Grand Rapids Press during the 9 o'clock news. You know, he called and you know, obviously wanted to, you know, some information and quotes and things like that. And he asked me, he said, you know, how was Rick off the air? I said, you know what? What you heard on the air was what it was off the air, only 10 times dirtier. But otherwise,
yeah, he didn't have to worry about the FCC off the air.
No, not at all. You know, but I mean, that was Rick. Rick was a very genuine, generous guy.
Yeah.
Well, and I put that on my blog too. It talks of, you know, I made mention of the list he can't say on Wood Radio, and there actually truly was a list too. I think a lot of people thought we were joking about that.
There was a list.
Rick had a big heart. I don't think people, you know, he always came across as, you know, kind of gruff and on the air, but Rick had a very big heart. I mean, every day he would come in and he would have snacks for people around the newsroom, and he'd go down and talk to Tommy and Brooke on our sister station and give them little treats and stuff. So he truly, I mean, his heart was a lot bigger than I think a lot of people ever gave him credit for. Yeah.
And I first got to know Rick as a bitter rival. We worked across town from each other.
Oh, yeah.
Times when he would end up on our show, which was always really interesting when we had meetings with our bosses. And I was shocked to get to know the guy off the air. And when he made the change, when he finally took the cure, you got to see the real Rick Beckett. And not a day went by when he didn't ask me about my children. How many single guys do you know his age that give a rip? He genuinely wanted to know, how are they doing in school? We went up to Great Wolf Lodge. Did you have a good time? It was just a constant, really care about you kind of guy.
Well, and I've been reading all the different posts on Bill's blog and the different news stories and stuff out there. And one of them was we used to have a person that used to call into our show on a pretty regular basis. And at one point during a conversation, it came up that this guy had an autistic child. And it was like 2 years later, the guy wrote it in his little entry, 2 years later, we were at a remote doing something, and this guy came up and talked to us and introduced him, and the first thing Rick asked him was, you know, hey, how is your autistic son? I mean, Rick had a memory for those type of things. You would tell him something like that, and he wouldn't forget it.
He had a memory for a lot of things, some things you wished he had forgotten, Rick never forgot, no question about that. Well, listen, we'll have more information about funeral arrangements and everything else. But, Scott, take care. If you need anything, man, you know, just go ahead and give us a buzz.
Oh, I know. I said we'll do a big tribute show on Monday. Yeah. I'm heading home. I'm still down in St. Louis. I'm heading home later this afternoon. So I'll be going through a bunch of audio from, you know, the last 15 years and hopes of having that and stuff on Monday. So it's, like I said, we'll do the big tribute on Monday. So, you know, everybody needs to tune in Monday from 9 to noon.
If you haven't had a chance to do so yet, go to woodradio.com. Keyword Scott. He eloquently puts into words exactly how we're all feeling.
And that was tough to do.
Exactly. And Terry DeBoer over at News 8 has a Facebook page, Friends of Rick Beckett. For those of you on Facebook, you want to write something right there, Friends of Rick Beckett, for those of you who are on Facebook. 9:15, Scott, good luck, buddy. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.